1204 was a turning point for Venice. And it turned Venice into a colonial empire. And there's no other way to describe it. After 1204, Venice is no longer just a maritime republic, a city-state in Italy, engaged in the carrying trade, supporting crusades with an alliance with Byzantium. Venice emerges as a great power. And it is a position the Venetians are going to hold until the 16th century. And the Venetians are going to be treated on par with the French monarchy, eventually with the Holy Roman Empire, even with the Ottoman Porte at one point in the 15th and 16th centuries. Henceforth, the Venetians are free from any kind of Byzantine regulations. After 1204, those are gone and never restored by either the Latin emperors or by Michael VIII and his successors. The Venetians are able to take the types of deals they had in the Levant and now extend it across the whole of the Aegean. In addition, the Venetians, under part of the arrangements of the original Partitio Romaniae, that is the division of imperial lands, were allowed to take up to 3/8 of the real estate of the Byzantine Empire that either the Crusaders occupied or intended to conquer. Now, here the Venetians showed how savvy they were in a variety of ways. The Venetians were not interested in fiefs in Asia Minor still to be conquered. The Venetians very carefully selected the regions they want. Two of the islands they took over, and there was actually a complicated exchange to get the second one, Crete, Corfu and Crete, were ideally located on the trade routes into the Aegean. They were administered as Crete, as Venetian colonies. A whole separate administration was put in, a garrison, mercenaries, a currency was developed in Crete. These are colonies as we would tend to understand them. And Corfu and Crete were administered as colonies, as extensions of the Republic of St. Mark. And in some ways, both of those, especially Crete, became as important as the hinterland of Venice, that is, the immediate surrounding areas of Venice, for naval stores and seamen. Cretan soldiers were always much appreciated and sailors, and they were recruited in great numbers. They took various ports along the shores of Greece. Again, complicated negotiations. The Venetians, if they wanted, could have laid claim to a large part of the Morea, where most of the silk plantations were located, and where there were other types of manufacturing activities. They didn't want those. They essentially only took two ports, Modon and Koron, on the southern shores of the Peloponnesus. That's all what they need. That's all they needed. Anything being produced in Achaia by the Frankish princes, it had to go through those ports. And that meant the Venetians would handle the processing, the tolls, the taxing. They could up the rates. You didn't have to control the hinterland. You didn't have to control where the metal was mined. The Venetians had learned this in their trade into the Balkans, or where the timber was cut. What you needed to control was to have those termini, where those products are going to be sent out across the Mediterranean. That meant you had a lock on the carrying trade. You had a lock on quality control, the taxing. You could turn the goods into even more expensive items. You then delivered them to ports on the other end where you also controlled those termini. So that's all you needed to really control. And that kept your cost of administration down, that kept your garrisons down, and meant profits were high. And the Venetians are extremely adept in understanding these types of arrangements. And you could see in the areas they selected in the Aegean world that there's a really conscious effort to take those areas that would maximize their profits and commerce and also minimize the amount of responsibilities that the Republic of St. Mark owed. There's a fine example of that in a rather peculiar arrangement, and again, it's an arrangement that, you know, flies in the face of what some think imperialism or colonialism is about, and that is what are known as the islands of the Cyclades, the primary island of Naxos. These are the islands in the center of the Aegean. They're useful trading stations. They're very difficult to control. Most of them are rocks in the Aegean that don't have much there, but you always need to stop off at one of those. And a Venetian citizen, a man who was participating in the Fourth Crusade, Marcos Sanudo, who took over these islands ostensibly as a fief of Baldwin I, was encouraged by the Republic of St. Mark to take the title of Duke and to run them and act as sort of a vassal to the Latin emperor and develop those islands, defend them on his own. That kept him off the budget of Venice. And you see in a number of instances, both the Venetians and Genoese both do this, that they encourage prominent citizens of theirs to take on fiefs, to take on these obligations, develop them on their own. These citizens and their descendants would be kindly towards their former citizens. They were often intermarried with the families in Venice. They gave all the privileges the Venetians wanted. The Venetians knew they could trust them. And at the same time, it took a secondary area, which would be expensive to maintain. Most of the islands are strategic. They're not really profitable.